Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you all. As you know, this is our summer festival, family festival. I don't even have David's problem, but it's so good to have the kids with us today. And as usual, we'd like you to come sit right up front here. So boys and girls, you can come. The best seats will be right here on the floor because I've got an object lesson that you're going to want to see. But some of the bigger kids, if you want, you can sit here. Moms and dads, feel free to come up too if you feel like your kid may turn into an orangutan in the middle of the talk. But we know we've got mostly really well-behaved kids here. So guys, great to have you. Thank you for coming to church today. It's so fun to worship with you and have families together. Well, we got a good group here today. Yeah. Great group. All right. Now, in a couple minutes, kids, I'm going to show you what's in this bag. Okay? So you got to pay attention. There's a surprise in this bag. But before the surprise, I want to tell you a story. It's a true story. And you'll be able to relate to it because you'll probably see yourself in the story. So how many disciples did Jesus have? Anybody know? Yeah, that's right. He had 12 disciples. And one day, Jesus and his disciples were walking along a dirty road. It had been a long, hard, stressful day. And the disciples were beginning to needle each other. Do you know what that means? Bug each other. And they began to fight with one another. Now, not a fist fight, but a verbal fight. They began to argue with one another as to which one of the disciples was the greatest, was the best disciple. So Peter probably said something like this: "You know, guys, I'm by far the best leader out of all of us. And I'm sure that Jesus is going to make me the king out of all the disciples." And I wouldn't doubt if John said something like this: "Well, you may be the best leader, but everybody knows that Jesus loves me the most because I'm called the beloved disciple." And I'm sure Matthew said, "Yeah, well, if it wasn't for me helping Judas with the money, we'd all be broke, right?" And so they're duking it out and fighting over which one of them was the greatest in the kingdom. Now, I got a question for you. Have you ever had an argument with a brother or a sister or a friend or somebody at school as to which one of you was the greatest at doing something? Can I see your hand? Yeah, five honest kids. Okay. Now, would you be honest enough to tell us what you were fighting over? Anybody? I didn't think so. Yes, sweetheart. Yeah.
And we were playing a game, and there were three princesses, and one of the princesses
Exactly. This little sweetheart said they were playing a game with princesses, and one of the princesses said, "I'm the best princess," right? Yeah. And that probably led to a fight between you and your friend. Now, anybody else? Were you going to say something, honey? Pardon me? Toys. How many of you have ever said, "My truck is bigger than your truck"? Yeah, see, when I was a little boy like you, I'd say things like, "My dad's stronger than your dad." Or, "My dad's car is newer than your dad's car." Or, "My mom makes better brownies than your mom." But of course, today, as you grow up, it's, "I have more friends on Facebook than you." Right? Stuff like that. Yeah, what did you argue about? Video games. So you thought that your video game was better than your friend's video game?
No, I just said I was better than
him. You were better than him at playing the video game. Exactly. You'd probably be a lot better than me, too. How about you?
Me and my brother are fighting who gets to drive the bumper car.
Oh, you were fighting over who gets to drive the bumper car. See, so all of us can relate to the fact that we fight. Now, I have another question. Why do you think we're so concerned about being the best and being the greatest? Anybody? Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. So that people respect you. We all want to be loved and we all want to be respected. And don't you think that those people who care the most about being the greatest actually have the most concerns about whether they are or not? Well, that's another talk. But let's get back to Jesus and the 12 disciples. The disciples are duking it out over which one is greatest, and they finally get to the house, and they all get inside, and they sit down like this, and Jesus stands up, and he looks at the disciples, and he says, "Okay, you guys, what in the world were you arguing about on the road?" Now, do you think Jesus knew what they were arguing about? I think so. Jesus was pretty smart, but he wanted them to actually speak it, to say it, to confess it, to get it out in the open. And not one of the 12 disciples said a word. They just shut their mouths and they were quiet because they were embarrassed. They were ashamed of the argument that they had been having. And then this is what Jesus said. He said, "Guys, if you want to be first, you have to be last. And if you want to be the greatest in my kingdom, you have to be the servant of all." That was strange. And then Jesus picked up a little girl. I like to think it was a little girl because little girls are so cute. And held the little girl and said, "Guys, do you see this little child? If you treat this child with honor and serve the child, you're serving me. And when you serve me, you serve my Father in heaven." And then he put the little child down. And the guys had an awful lot to think about that night when they went to bed. Okay, that's the Bible story today. Now, what do you think's in here? Anybody? Okay. We could have a debate over which one of these is better. Now, I hope you get to see this. Anybody seen these guys before? Yeah, okay. What are they called? Nobody knows? Well, they're some kind of practical superhero. This guy is a policeman. This guy is a canine specialist who takes care of mean dogs. This is a construction worker. And this is another traffic cop. He rides a motorcycle. And that's why he has a hard time standing up. And this is the only girl that I could find. I wanted more girls, believe you me. She looks like some kind of a medic. And this guy here, who's this guy? What is he? He's a fireman, that's right. So let's stick him up here. Firemen like to be first, so let's put him behind the police officer. And then there's this guy here. He looks like a lumberjack. Now, the reason I have these superheroes walking in single file is because I want you to imagine that they're all going on a very long walk or hike. Now, how many of you have ever been on a long hike or a walk? Where did you go? Where did you go? Do you remember?
We went on top of a mountain.
Yes. Yeah, isn't that exciting when you actually get to the top of the mountain and you have a view? How about you, honey?
I'm going to go on one in a couple of days with my cousin.
Lucky. How about you?
We went to Bunsen Lake, and we went on a trail, which was called the Diaz Vista.
Yes, Bunsen Lake. A lot of trails around there. I'd love to hear about your walks. But think right now about these guys going for a long walk. Let's say from here all the way to the Golden Ears Mountains. And the goal is to get to the top of the mountain. Now, how many of you, if you were taking this group of people or any group of people on a long walk, would like to be up at the front? Good. You know what? It's good to want to be a leader. It's really good, and God has given some of you kids leadership ability, and I'm very excited that you put your hand up. But this guy here, let's call him Peter the policeman. He's so desperate to be a leader, and he's pointing in this direction. Come on, everybody, let's go this way. But then he remembers what Jesus had to say. And Jesus said, if you want to be first, you have to be last. And if you want to be the greatest, you have to be the servant of all. Oh, so Peter, the leader, has a very big decision to make. And he decides to do the right thing. He walks all the way back to the end. And now he's bringing up
the rear. Now, let me ask you, how do you think Peter feels right now being the last?
Happy?
Because he's doing the Lord's will?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe. Anybody else? How do you think Peter feels? Yeah.
Angry.
Yeah, he might be a little angry. He might be because he's really a strong leader. But let me ask you another question. How important is it for the person at the end when you're going on a walk? How important is this person?
Good.
How, why? You don't know. How about you? No, this is not God's son. That's Jesus, but we're going to get around to him in a minute. Now, Peter is God's son in that all of us become God's sons and daughters when we become Christians. And if that's what you meant, that's absolutely the right answer. Why is it important when you're going on a walk to be the last person? Yes. Yes. So you can make sure that nobody falls behind. The person at the back has to make sure that the weakest and the smallest hikers make it to where they're going. So I want you to imagine that they begin the hike, and after about 2 hours, Mary the medic gets very, very tired, and she begins to lag behind. And everybody is getting farther and farther ahead. And finally, she just gets so discouraged that she sits down and she begins to cry. And Pete, the policeman, says, "Mary, what's wrong? Why aren't you walking?" And she says, "I did such a silly thing, but I drank all my water 2 hours ago. And I'm so thirsty. I didn't ration my water." And Pete says, "Well, listen, I've got some water for you. Take some of the water in my bottle." And Pete, the policeman, gives Mary a drink from his water bottle, and Mary feels so refreshed. The water tastes so good, and up she jumps, and Pete and Mary run back into line, and away they go. Oh, but then a guy by the name of Matt, big, strong guy, something's wrong with him, and he begins to limp. And he begins to lag behind. And he's looking very sad and very discouraged. And like Mary, he sits down. And Pete goes up to Matt and says, "Matt, what's wrong, buddy? What's wrong?" And Matt says, "Well, I got these new boots and I didn't break them in. And I've got these awful blisters." How many of you have ever had a blister? Yeah, every one of us. They're horrible. And so Pete said, "Well, listen, Matt, take off your shoes." So Matt took off his shoes and he took off his socks. And then Pete took out his big knapsack. And you know what he pulled out of his knapsack? Some duct tape. And he took that duct tape and he put it on those blisters. And I'm telling you, that did the trick. And so he said, "How does that feel?" Matt put his shoes back on and he said, "That duct tape is a miracle. That's wonderful." And away he went. He was so happy and excited, and away they went. Ah, but then there was something really tragic that happened. Let's call him Philip the fireman. He began to bend over. Oh, something was very wrong. He began looking like the letter C walking around. It was really, really tragic. And he was so slow that this guy became the leader, and everybody went ahead of Philip the fireman, the guy who was so excited about taking Peter's place, and he lags behind, and at the end of the day, he's flat on his face, the poor guy, and Pete goes up to him, and he says, "Hey, Philip, man, what's wrong? You were leading so well." And Philip sits up, and he says, "Oh, Pete, I'm so embarrassed, and I'm so ashamed. I was so excited to be the leader, but I was proud, and I went way too fast. I went at a pace that I couldn't keep up. Go without me. I'm never going to make it." And he became overcome with discouragement. He said, "You go on. You take the gang up to the mountain, and I'll rest here, and then maybe I'll go home after my rest." Well, Pete, the policeman, said, "We will have absolutely none of that. You get up. Come on, I'll help you walk." And Philip said, "I can't walk. I'm just too tired and my back is too sore." So you know what Pete did? Pete said, "Well, listen, why don't you get on my back and I will carry you all the way to the next rest period And that's what he did. He gave Philip a piggyback all the way up to the campsite. In fact, by the end of the day, Pete the policeman had helped in one way or another every single one of the hikers. Now, how important is it to be the last guy? It's the most important. In fact, he led from the back. Now, you know, everybody had a good supper and they went to bed and they had a good sleep. And in the morning they got up and they cooked breakfast around the campfire. They were very excited about where they were going to go that day. They were going to go right to the mountain peak at Golden Ears. And they got together and they had a little team meeting. And you know what they decided? They decided who their permanent leader was going to be. And guess who everybody decided should be the permanent leader?
Philip.
No, not Philip. You're going to be a leader. Yeah, how about you?
Everyone.
No, not everyone, but good guess. Yes, everybody wanted Peter to be the leader. The one that was the least became the first. See, his hands are in the air. He's praising the Lord. He's given glory to God. Now, I want you to listen to me. This is really important, and I want your moms and dads to listen as well. Jesus is asking all of us to step from the front to the back and to lead by serving other people and helping other people. But do you know that none of us have what it takes to do that? In fact, there's something in our hearts called sin. And sin is always making us want to be first and the best and the greatest. But there is somebody that I know, and I think you know him too. He's the only person who has ever lived who was the greatest, but he chose to become the smallest. Do you know who that is?
Jesus.
Yes. Jesus, who was the creator of the universe, chose to become a tiny little baby who grew up to be a man, and he served the human race by ultimately dying on a cross. And when he died on the cross, he allowed us to be forgiven all of our selfishness and our sin and our desire to be great. But he didn't stay dead. 3 days later, God raised Jesus from the dead, and Jesus is alive. And through his Holy Spirit, who now lives in us, Jesus can empower us to make the difficult decisions of being the least and serving one another. That's what it means to be truly great. So let's pray and ask Jesus to help us do that. Lord Jesus, we don't naturally want to be second or third or last. We only want to be first. We are sinful and selfish, and we want everybody else to serve us. But as we look at your life, we see that to be truly great means to become small and to serve and help others and to let the Father take care of our reputation. And so today we want to repent of all the times this week that we've had a fight with somebody over who's best. And we want to tell you that we're tempted many, many times to think about those kinds of things. And today we choose to put our trust in the truly great one who became the last. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving us the Holy Spirit who will help us to serve others like you have served us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can go back to your seats, kids. Way to go.